We're back on In Focus News Radio KMAN, chatting today with Tim Schaefer, who's an assistant professor of communication studies at K-State and also involved with the Civic Discourse and Institute for Civic Discourse and Democracy. It's such a long
title. Is. We refer to it as ICDD, but it's true that most, especially university things, it seems, always have really long titles and names, and they get shortened, and so there's some acronym that some people know, and a lot of people don't, but they don't. They never say it, and nobody ever really asks. So I appreciate you do a very good job, by the way, with usually saying it out loud.
But we were conversing in the newsroom, I think last week, Sam and I, and we were talking. My predecessor Brady.
Yeah.
I guess used to struggle with that all the time.
Yeah. Too, oh,
so
yeah.
I don't feel bad.
No. He had I think about three or four variations of what my title was, and I never corrected it because it really didn't matter unless people were looking for it. And I always work from the assumption that search engines, Google, you know, if you use Bing or whatever else it might be, they can usually find that stuff. If you have the right jumble of words, it doesn't have to be exact. So yeah.
Some people do use Bing. I've heard there's also one called DuckDuckGo.
Yes, there are varieties. So that's why I didn't want to just say Google, but that's the, you know, we've turned that into a verb, and that's what most people use. But yeah, you can usually find this work. So Institute for Civic Discourse and Democracy, ICDD.
Yeah.
We do a whole bunch of things, which I know you had some conversation not too long ago with some people doing some of this.
That's right. We had some 4-H students that were involved. I think it was last weekend with a forum here, and the forum was really, I think, a timely topic. Mm-hmm. It was on gun violence here, and that it was conducted by high school students who were in 4-H. They previewed it on our radio, and then we had someone cover it this past weekend. But, you know, a great example, I think, of the way to potentially solve contentious issues.
Yeah. A colleague of mine at K-State, Aliyah Mestrovich-C, who's in the Staley School for Leadership Studies, which is a partner of the department that I'm in, communication studies, but also the bigger umbrella of ICDD, had organized some conversations around shootings and mass shootings and things. And it's I think it's been a really good example of a couple things. One is that this kind of work is showing up in a lot of different places, and a lot of people are saying this resonates. We need to be able to talk about these kinds of challenges that we face, right? There's complex issues that we deal with, and here's one way to do it. And then also importantly, you know, Aliyah's work, for example, with 4-H and with youth. Here, for me, for example, here's a great example of an organization that throughout its time and its existence, you know, 100 plus years, extension started in 1914, we have been over time developing what it means to be a leader in a community, right? Thinking about the skills and the capacities, what that looks like. I absolutely love going to the county fair here and other places, and you see that being demonstrated with, you know, youth raising chicks and all sorts of other things and doing that. And also that 4-H is also this, right? It's also learning how to be a facilitator, learning how to convene conversations around contentious issues, because this is what's going to show up in urban places, in suburban and rural. I mean, it's across the board. And it's not just that topic, right? But it's across skill sets. And that's something that ICDD has done a lot of work with people both on and off campus as they're really trying to think through how do we have conversations that matter, that bring people together, that it's not just, you know, let's yell at each other. I've got ideas, you've got ideas, and we're just going to see who's the loudest and who can win. But, you know, you're really thinking through the complexity, right? This is where my work in deliberation, for example, literally the meaning of the word deliberation is kind of to weigh, right? It's the same as pound. And how do we think about those tensions and trade-offs, right? There's always going to be some, I mean, we were just talking about it with the issues on the ballot. All of these things have trade-offs, right? I would prefer to pay less. What comes with that, right? If I don't pay it here, then I pay it somewhere else. Which one, what do I want to do, right? These kinds of factors. And if we can translate that from that discrete individual interaction with, you know, your thinking and as it shows up on a ballot to your thinking in relationship with other people, not just one other person, but with lots of folks. And this is where the work of 4-H, I think, has been great, is that they're learning how to do this in kind of community context and bigger conversations. And I know they had a lot of people participating and really felt like, yeah, this is what we want to be doing. That's great. And it's true that I have colleagues around the country who are doing this in other states, particularly through age and through youth development, right? This is developing young people as leaders. not so much into say, you need to think a certain way, you need to do a certain thing, but it's giving skills and capacity for them to truly facilitate conversations that bring people with a wide range of experiences and views together. And I think that's really important.
Yeah. Well, I agree. You know, a lot of times it feels like we've lost the ability to listen to differing opinions on issues, especially this one. Gun violence is very, very divided in this country.
It is. And being able to understand what that means, what that looks like, and having as thorough and as knowledgeable a conversation about that has been, I think, really important. I was just last week, for example, I mentioned I haven't really left. The only times I've left the house really have been to be here. And last week I was part of an event with KCUR, NPR over in Kansas City, actually in Johnson County, and StoryCorps. But it was basically about listening across divides. And the topic, I didn't expect this, but the whole topic was around guns. And one of the discussions was between two one's a current, one's a former member of government, former Representative Yoder, and then the director of the Missouri Democrats, Baker is her last name. I'm blanking on the first, but they were talking, and they had this kind of structure, this little conversation. And what was telling, it was, you know, everybody laughed, but it was this funny moment. They were talking, they were both from rural places, both farm kids, and they didn't expect that. So that was that first, like, huh, well, that's curious. And they wouldn't have known that until they talked. And then they both had guns, right, when they were growing up, because they were on farms and they experienced this. And everybody was like, oh, okay. And then the conversation went on. And then later, the moderator kind of asked this question of like, well, who has a gun? And the Democrat did and the Republican didn't, right? And so it was this interesting, not that that was a big factor, but it was this interesting moment that we've created these kind of caricatures of people and their categories of who they are and what they are, and we're much more complex, right? And this is where actually being able to be in conversation, being able to listen to one another becomes very important, is that you can actually understand of like, oh, you're not just this broadcaster, you're not just this person in a studio booth, but you're this, you're that. You've got, you know, these multiple dimensions. And until we actually are able to talk about that alongside the factual information, right? So being able to say X number of incidents have occurred within this school, for example, or we've had these types of issues or situations, we want to be able to think through that in those ways. And that's where, you know, I spend a lot of time basically telling people they should talk to each other. But that's hard, but it's also very simple and very important.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's crazy that people don't realize you can be for one thing and against another thing, even if it means going against the general school of thought.
Yeah, I mean, and the frustration is, I mean, whether it's playing out with local, state, federal politics, I mean, we've got against a backdrop everything going on in D.C. right now. Everything gets framed in very easy, simplistic ways, right? You're on red, you're blue, you're left, you're right, you're these kinds of things. And we don't have a lot of opportunity for ambiguity, which I think is unfortunate because a lot of us exist in those ways. Kind of this, and I know I've talked about this before, but like this gamification of politics, right? We turn it into this, like we're going to win. I just watched the World Series, right? I mean, and you can see it, right? I mean, it's that same kind of experience that a lot of people then translate into other spaces of life. And that I don't think that's helpful, right? You can be on a team, but go play sports. Like politics is not a sport. Like it's a way of us existing and living together. And we can have preferences and biases, but we need to be able to attend to that in a reasonable, kind of justified, grounded way. And it's really detrimental if we only walk in, whether it's into a booth or into an interaction with someone, and we're only saying, I'm gonna stick with this person or this party or this position because this is who I am. Like, I would encourage you to really think deeply and thoughtfully about a lot of these things.
President Obama had some really strong words for people here yesterday or the day before.
Yeah, I think it was just yesterday.
And talked about the cancel culture of today's society and people being woke through social media and how that's not necessarily helpful.
Yeah, I mean, so there's a great clip. It's just a few minutes long. You can probably find it. But yeah, I mean, former President Obama made this statement that, you know, calling somebody out online and being like, you're wrong, I'm right kind of thing, like that does, I hesitate to say very little, it does virtually nothing, right? Yeah. And all it does is kind of perpetuate and kind of exacerbate the very superficial ways that we interact. I mean, this goes back to you know, the very first conversation we were having. Until we have those real interactions with people, a lot of this can just be a facade and kind of fake. And I actually appreciate him speaking in those ways, because I think, you know, and he was talking to a group of people who are trying to be activists and make change and affect communities. And if you want to do that, like, then you really, you need to be out with people. You need to be talking with people. You need to be interacting. You can't just kind of go around and say, you know, you're wrong, I'm right. That gets you just about nowhere.
And it's his audience.
Oh, yeah, totally. I mean, it was oriented to a certain population that would maybe expect him to be slightly more sympathetic to that kind of language. And he said it, right? You know, there's something that feels good about being justified in your own position and your views. And I'm not saying you shouldn't have that sense of strength or kind of commitment. But at the same time, like, you can't just operate from that position, because you've got some real significant limitations. And in fact, it's probably not going to do the thing that you think it might.
All right. Take a break. Okay.
Do we have Ben coming in, or is it just him?
Ben will not be here. It's just going to be
okay. Oh, all right. We'll bring it home then. We'll just do this.
All right. Back after this on News Radio KMAN.